How we doing? Whoa. How's that? Yeah, kick in the back. Turned up real loud. There you go. Well, good evening, Clear Lake Chinese Church. It's great to be back with you guys. My name is Josh Howe. I will be your speaker tonight. I've been a missionary supported by this church for a long time. But I want to enter into an agreement with you right off the beginning. Are you guys willing to make an agreement with me? Are you? I want you guys to agree with me that you will have fun and enjoy tonight. All right? I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I am going to have fun and I'm going to enjoy tonight. I am going to have fun and I'm going to enjoy tonight. And we're going to start by taking a look at the book of Jonah. And we won't go all the way through the book of Jonah tonight, just the first chapter. But to set up the book of Jonah, I need to first start by telling you a story of a peak. A peak is something that's very high. A peak is something that's very lofty. This particular peak was on the Front Range of the Colorado Rockies. Anybody ever been to the Colorado Rockies before? Anybody? Anybody? There you go. And this particular peak, I was working at InterVarsity Camp. And earlier in the year, I work in college student ministry. InterVarsity is the name of the college student ministry that I've worked for a very long time. Earlier in the year, we held an outreach, and I met a friend of mine named Dan. And Dan was a student, and he was an autistic student that had sadly been pushed away by a lot of people because of his autism. He was a little bit awkward. He was a little bit, people had some difficulties when they interacted with him. And Big Dan is what we came to call this particular young man. He had tried everything to be popular. He had tried everything to get people to enjoy being around him and like him. His parents were wealthy, and so he had access to car and money, and on top of that, he worked really hard and tried to get really good grades, and he had pledged fraternities, and he had tried to get into these social networks, and everybody had just pushed him away. And then we came along as a Christian ministry, and we met Dan, and we talked to him about Jesus, and we talked about how Jesus never pushed somebody. Talked about how Jesus loves Dan just the way he is, and that our fellowship would love Dan just the way he is. Big Dan heard about how Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the dead, and he gave his life to Jesus. And Big Dan's life turned dramatically around. All of a sudden, he had lots of friends in our fellowship. All of a sudden, he had significance and purpose. But one of the greatest things about Dan is whenever you would read something in the Bible with Dan, he would just go do it. He just did it. If the Bible said, hey, you should be generous and you should give some money away, Dan never questioned it because everything he known about God in the Bible was it worked. And so Dan would just go give money away. Right? If the Bible said, go talk to other people about how much God loves them, all of a sudden Dan would just go talk to other people about how much God loves them. And all that to say is we took a missions trip, the Front Range of the Colorado Rockies. InterVarsity has a camp there. We were going there for spring break, and we're going to clean and scrub the whole camp. That's what our group was going up there to do. We're going to fix up the camp during spring break. And they have this tall, tall peak. And the tall peak is called Devil's Slide. I don't know why it's called Devil's Slide. It's got this 400-foot rock face on one side of it. And a long story made short, at the very beginning of our trip up there for spring break, we had went to hike this very short mountain called Sugarloaf. It's supposed to be a 10-minute hike. And we went up, and my friend Big Dan struggled so much. He was scared. He was nervous. And what was going to be a 10-minute hike turned into a 3-hour ordeal. I don't know if you guys have ever gone to, like, the store expecting it to take only a few minutes, but then it took much longer. Or if you've ever started a homework problem, he thought, this is only going to take a few minutes, but then it took much longer. So Big Dan was frustrated at that, and so were some other students. And so the rest of the time that we hiked all week, Big Dan wanted nothing to do with the hike. He just said, no, I'm going to stay in the cabins, and I'm going to play checkers and hang out. But then we're leading one last hike up the Devil's Slide, 10,400 feet up. Big Dan comes up to me and says, Josh, I want to go on this hike. I say, Dan, it's supposed to take 3 hours, and that's if we hike fast. I had so much trouble. I don't want you to get hurt or injured and frustrated. I said, Josh, I believe I can make it. And then I tried to be very reasonable. I said, Dan, I don't want you to get hurt. And on top of that, the weather's dropping. It might even snow, and so it could be even more dangerous. I think you should stay here. Josh, I really want to go on this hike. And Dan, I think it's best if you just stay here. And snow actually started to brim up on the top of my cap. And then finally, Dan looked at me, and like I said, Dan will read things in the Bible, and then he says, well, this is what it says, and so this is what we do. And Dan looked at me and he said, Josh, I thought following Jesus meant that you could trust him to help you do the things he put in your heart to do, and that other Christians would help you. Me, as a campus minister, didn't have a lot of response for that, because that's what following Jesus a lot is like. God puts something in your heart. That's great. You should go try to do it and then get other people to help you who follow Jesus and love Jesus too. And so I said, Dan, let's go up the mountain. And we started up this mountain. And remember, we're on our way to a peak, 10,400 feet. And the temperature starts to drop and we start out behind the base of the camp. And I'll never forget for my entire life, Dan started walking up this mountain and Dan started saying, I know Jesus can help me up this mountain. I know Jesus can help me up this mountain. If you got within earshot of Dan, that's just what he was saying. And he wasn't in the back. He was leading the whole group. I know Jesus can help me up this mountain. And we went up over what they called the ice waterfalls, and you have to kind of crawl over those. Other students were slipping and falling. They were getting upset, and they were complaining. Dan did none of that. I know Jesus can help me up this mountain. I know Jesus can help me up this mountain. And he kept going up and up. And then the temperature kept falling, and it's like a movie scene. I'm getting radio word from base camp, like, maybe you should call off the hike and come back. No, I think we can make it. We'll keep going. I think the temperature's falling. Okay, we'll send the truck for you as a pickup after you get back down, right? So all this thing's going on. Meanwhile, students are complaining. They're falling. They're slipping. They're getting wet. They're freezing. People were underdressed. Everything was not going as planned. But Dan was not in the back. He was in the front. I know Jesus. I know Jesus can help me up this mountain. Up and up and up we went. At the very top, you have to do some three-point climbing, climbing over boulders and stuff. And it was Dan, 6-foot-5-inch train, that was reaching down and pointing other students up. And finally, after about an hour and a half, we got to the top of Devil's Slide. It was snowing all around us, 10,400 feet. Big Dan was the first one. And Dan came over, gave me this huge hug and picked me up. He said, Josh, I never would have seen this. I didn't believe Jesus helped me out this mountain. That's a story of what it looks like to hear God's voice, to respond to it, to say yes, and go to what I would call a peak. Now, the opposite of that story tonight is found in the book of Jonah. And Jonah is an Old Testament figure. He's a guy that lived a long time ago. And he's written about in the Old Testament. And Jonah heard God's voice, but Jonah did the opposite of that. He didn't say, I'll go. He didn't say, I can. Instead, he said, I want nothing to do with that. So I need to pass out these passages. I should have done this a little bit earlier. Forgive me. But if you have your Bible, you can also open up to Jonah. Just pass the Psalms, between the Psalms and the New Testament. Pass those around. And these are just sheets. They're just what we call manuscripts. This is Jonah chapter 1. You can pass that around. I'm going to give everybody just a minute to get the passage. Now remember, our agreement tonight is you guys are going to do what? Have fun, right? Good. Pass that around. Get it worked all the way out through there. Let me pray for us as we get ready to look at God's Word. Father in heaven, it is great to be with you tonight to hear a story about someone that went to a peak. Sadly, we're about to read about someone who goes to a pit. Pray that you would open up our heart tonight to see your truth. You would be honored. You would be glorified. Speak your great name. Amen. Jonah is an Old Testament guy, and Jonah has been approached by God, called by God. He hears the Lord's voice to go to this place called Nineveh to preach the gospel. Nineveh was a place that was not a God-fearing and worshiping place. Nineveh was known as a place that was very difficult for anybody who knew God or loved God to be around or be a part of. And yet God is about to tell Jonah, I want you to go to this place. Let me read this for us. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, that we will not perish. The sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity. They cast the lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? He answered, I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down? Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, men did their best to row back to land. They could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you please. They took Jonah and threw him overboard. The raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. It's quite an interesting and intriguing story, and one of my